As we continue our series in 2 Peter, we've come down to verse 2. And 2 Peter is not an easy book. It has many hard things in it, but yet it may be one of the most up-to-date books in the Bible when it comes to describing the condition of things that we find around us. And so as difficult it is, it can be of great help to us in dealing with our current day situation. Now in verse 2, Peter tells us the two results of the heresies of the false teachers. The first thing he says is that the false teachers would have a very large following, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. The second thing he says is that they would cause the truth to be evil spoken of, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. All right, let's look at the first word, and many. Here we find the shocking and frightening and sad, but all too true fact, something that we see in common experience, that false teachers and their errors are very popular and successful, and that the majority of men follow false religion and false doctrine. Remember Elijah, the great prophet? Well, he served the Lord in a time of great spiritual declension, much like our own. And he ministered to the northern kingdom of Israel. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, things had gotten very hard for him, very bad for him, and he was in a very low state of mind. He thought he was the only one left who was still following the true God. You remember there were 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of the groves. The political leaders were all promoting Baal worship, Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Elijah stood up for the Lord, and his life was now in danger. And notice what he said in verse 14. He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword." Now that was true. "And I, even I only, am left." Now, I don't know if he meant as a prophet or as a follower of the true and living God, Jehovah. And he says, "And they seek my life to take it away." Well, God corrects him. Evidently, things are so bad that you would have thought there wasn't a Christian in the land, a believer and a follower of the true God. Elijah thought that. But notice what God said to him in verse 18. "Yet I have left me. I have reserved for myself, by his grace, 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." 7,000 in the whole nation, which may have numbered in the millions, only 7,000 had refused to join in with the popular religion of the day. Elijah thought he was alone. No, there are 7,000, yet that was a very small minority. And the Bible says, even so today, there is a remnant, a very small remnant, according to the election of grace. There are some few. They're like the gleanings, or, you know, like a few grains in the field, few fruits in the top of the tree that are still following the Lord. You know, Jesus said that all men, and that's certainly a great majority, he's talking there of all unbelieving men, of course, all men speak well of false prophets and appreciate their message. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Probably one of the worst things that can happen to a preacher is that everyone likes him. And he's popular. And no one can say a bad thing about what his message is. It may not be a good sign. He says in verse 26, "Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you. They will eulogize you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." All men like the false prophets. Woe unto you if you're like them. Why did they like them? Well, remember 1 John 4:5, we've looked at this before. Unbelievers are worldly people. And they have worldly, carnal principles and affections and interests and preferences. And the false prophets give them what they want. Verse 5 of chapter 4 of 1 John. They are of the world. Who are? False prophets. Therefore speak they of the world. In other words, that's all they know is the world. And that's their subject. And they never can reach above the world and attain to spiritual, heavenly things. And the world, those who are worldly in their condition and position and principles, hear them. In other words, their message has something the world likes and will tolerate and listen to gladly. Well, our Lord also said, you know, most men hear false prophets, speak well of them, but he also said that most men are on the broad road that leads to destruction. Remember, we ended last time by saying, God has destroyed, that was Psalm 73, all them that go a-whoring from him. And to go after false teachers and false doctrine is to go a-whoring, not a popular word, but it's in a spiritual sense, it's to go a-whoring after things that God forbids. It's spiritual fornication or adultery. He has destroyed all them. You remember how Jesus said that false teachers and those who follow them will ultimately perish. You know, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And that's why in Matthew 7, which we read this morning, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." As I said, the crowd is not always right. Just because something is in the majority does not mean it's good or correct. We don't want to just join the crowd, because we may end up where they end up, and it's not going to be a happy end. He says, many go in to the wide gate, onto the broad way that leads to destruction. And one of the things that helps them to that is verse 15, beware of false prophets. They're more than happy to accommodate you when it comes to ushering you into the wrong way. The way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So what I want to do is to ask ourselves why it is that most men follow after lies and perish. Why would that be the case? In one sense, we could say, thank God for his mercy and truth, because if it weren't for that, I would have to teach all men follow after lies and perish. And all do, by nature and by their normal practice, but God, of course, in his mercy intervenes, and some are delivered from that false way, that broad road that leads to destruction. Well, the first thing I want to notice is because men as sinners have an aversion, prejudice, and hatred of the truth, that's why they follow after lies and perish. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3? This is our awful condition. If we hear the truth and we're left to ourselves in our natural state, the only necessary response that we will have to that truth is we'll have an aversion to it. We'll want to avoid it. We'll have a prejudice against it. We'll find reasons why we shouldn't believe it, why it's wrong, why it can't be true. And we hate it. And you are not going to embrace something you hate. John 3, verse 19 and 20 says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And that stands for the truth, or for Jesus. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. Notice, love darkness, sin and error, hate the light, truth and holiness, and so they won't come to it. In Amos chapter 5, another of the small prophets, Amos chapter 5 and verse 10, when a Christian brings the truth to people, what is their response? What is their attitude toward the preachers and teachers of the truth? It says in verse 10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. They speak well of false prophets, but they hate those who teach God's truth. Right? The second reason why most men fall after their lives and perish is because false doctrine allows men to continue in their lusts and sins. If you really examine a person, when they tell you why they will not believe, it's because they have some sin or lust or carnal pleasure that they want to keep. And that's what keeps them from believing in Christ. They don't want to give that up. They love their sins more than Jesus. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. It says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why not? Well, they have something else they want more. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they'll find teachers that will allow them in their lusts, give place to their lusts. I mean, there's certain popular sins nowadays, if you say anything against it, you're gone. They won't allow for it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Notice. And shall be turned unto fables. Why? Because they want their lusts. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Jeremiah chapter 23 talks about the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. The false prophets and teachers encourage people in their sin. You'll be all right. You don't have to change. Just keep going the way you are. God loves you. He won't judge you. Verse 17, they still say unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Go ahead, keep it up. Just go on in your unbelief. Keep living the way you want, a selfish, sinful life. You'll be all right. Verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. God says, I'm not behind them in their message. They're doing this on their own. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, or if they'd done what they were meant to do, what they should have been doing, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But they don't turn them because they don't tell them what they need to hear to be turned. They don't preach repentance. Men love darkness rather than light because their ways are evil, and so they will not turn from them. All right, third reason why most men follow after lies and perish is because the sinful hearts of men prefer evil and lies to holiness and truth. That's our nature now. We have a corrupt, fallen, depraved nature, and it's a nature of falsehood and deceit. And so we go to that. That's what we prefer. Psalm 52. Talks about mighty men, but these are men mighty in sin. Like those who are mighty to drink wine and inflame themselves. He says, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor. Notice, how does it do it? By working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. In other words, the false teachers tell them things they want to hear. They love it. They soak it right up. They run to it. Makes them feel good, but it's a devouring word. It's going to destroy them in the end. But they want that. In John chapter 5, Jesus made some amazing statements along this line. Think of what he said. Verse 43 of John 5. I am come in my Father's name. God, the God of truth. And ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. In other words, I'm coming in the name of the true and living God. You don't want me. You reject me. You will not take me as your Lord and Savior. But if anyone else comes in any other name, you'll accept that. That's good enough for you. That doesn't give me any problems. In other words, you'll take anything but the true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the only way to God. Look what he said in John 8, even more strongly. See, we were made in the image of God. We were originally holy. And God's image is truth. We were true. We sinned under the temptation of Satan, and we fell. And now what is the case? Verse 44, you're of your father the devil. We lost the image of God, and now we have the image of Satan stamped on us. We have a sinful nature. And the lusts of your father ye will do. All right, what was he like? He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. He's a liar and deceiver. And as his children, we have, you know, like father, like son, we have his image now upon us. We are liars and deceivers by nature. Now, there's no truth in him, and it talks about those who teach false doctrine. They are destitute of the truth, just like the one who sent him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. All right, you belong to the arch liar, the proto liar, the original liar, and you are like him. You know, and so he says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. The only reason you don't believe me is because I'm telling you the truth. So don't be surprised when you tell people what the Bible says and they say, I don't believe that. They didn't believe Jesus either, because it was not because there's anything wrong with it, not because it's not the truth, but because it is the truth. They will not believe it. And then he says, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Here I am, a man who is without sin, Jesus said, telling you the truth, why not believe me? I mean, who else is sinless? Who else speaks only truth? And yet he's the one they would not believe. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You're not of God, so you don't hear them in faith, in love, in obedience. There's some amazing statements in Jeremiah chapter 5. Verse 30 and 31, a wonderful, and this doesn't mean it's a good thing, it means it's so outlandish, you can hardly believe it. It's amazing that this could be the case. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And, notice, oh, the people are all upset and they wish it was better. No. He says, and my people love to have it so. They love to have the prophets prophesy falsely. What will you do in the end thereof when all this comes down? Why is it that they love false doctrine? Well, look at Jeremiah 9. Because they themselves are false in their very natures, in their very hearts. They have false hearts that are acclimated to and drawn to falsehood. Jeremiah is very upset by this. Oh, that my head were waters, verse 1, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. What's he crying about? Why are they slain? Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. Why do you want to get away from them so much? Here's why. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. It is unbelievable how we convince ourselves that what we're doing is all right, and that we can do it and everything will be okay, go from evil to evil. It's because we don't know the Lord, and we're blind to what is right and good. We have no truth in us, and so we live a lie. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves. They tire themselves out to commit iniquity. Thy habitation is in the midst of deceit. In other words, that's why he wanted to leave and get in the wilderness. He's surrounded by deceit. And that's where he lives, through deceit. Notice, they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Now, people justify themselves, they rationalize, and allow themselves in a condition of sin and unbelief. And by doing that, they trick themselves into refusing to know the Lord, which means ultimate destruction and damnation. It's their sinful hearts. They prefer evil and lies to holiness and truth. The fourth reason that most men fall after lies and perish is because men are blinded and enslaved by Satan, who is the father of lies. We saw it already. You're of your father, the devil. 1 John 5:19, it says there, and we know that we are of God, that's Christians, we are of God, we are the people of the truth, belong to the God of truth. He has put his truth within us. We're created in righteousness and holiness of truth. We have the restored image of God. But what about those who aren't believers? And that's the majority. And the whole world lies in wickedness. And that word wickedness there is the wicked one. The whole world is in the very lap of Satan. He's got them in his clutches. And he's not letting them go. Not easily. And what's Revelation 12, verse 9 say? Why is the whole world in the power of Satan, the prince of darkness, which is the opposite of light and truth? Why? Verse 9 of Revelation 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Now we like these science fiction horror movies, you know, where they have dragons attacking people and gobbling them up. We think that's very entertaining. This is not a fairy tale, and this is not entertaining. This is dead serious. Who's the great dragon that was cast out? That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. If you're not a believer in Christ today, you're deceived. And that deception will be your ruin until you come to Christ and are delivered from the devil's wiles. He was cast out on the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, we find that the devil has a hand in all those who are in unbelief and who are lost. He's a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to who? To them that are lost. Who are they? Those in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's not a pleasant thought. Blinded by Satan and by his deception, held in his power and helpless to free ourselves. He has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? What's he trying to prevent? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He doesn't want you to come to the light of the knowledge of Christ, the truth of salvation, the one who brings us to truth and holiness, which is the original image of God. He doesn't want that light to come to us and convert and transform us. All right, the final reason why most men fall at their lives and perish is because it is the judgment of God to turn unbelieving men over to believe lies. Now, unless God enlightens us and converts us, we're helpless to be saved. And when he finally says, all right, you don't want my truth, then lies it is. I'll give you over to them, never to be delivered from them. That's a frightening thing. But 2 Thessalonians 2 says, God does that to those who stand out against him in impenitence. 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks in verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Right, why are they deceived and why do they perish? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, because of their rejection of the gospel, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe what? A lie. What a terrible thing to think what you believe is true, convince yourself it's true, and it's nothing but a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What happens to liars? That they all might be damned who did not believe the truth, but preferred their sin and error to it. Well, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 tells us the end of all these, which is what 2 Thessalonians is saying. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what Jesus meant when he said that those blind leaders of the blind will fall into the ditch along with those who believe their lies. But what can we learn from this? There's one main lesson we learn from this. It is that it is very wrong to judge the soundness of a man or a teaching or a movement by the size of their following. The only thing we should judge these things by is the Scriptures. Are they teaching the truth of the Bible? You know, like it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. Doesn't matter how popular they are, how big their church is, or any such thing. If they speak not according to this law, there's no light in them. It's wrong to join a cause or a group or follow a man only because the majority of people are doing it. As a matter of fact, we're forbidden to do that in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. It says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. The whole world's following a lie, being deceived by the father of lies. You must not join them. We cannot do that. God forbids it. This scripture that we just read informs us that the truth will always be in the minority and error will be in the majority. And that's why we have to be careful. Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Make sound judgment based on God's word, not by appearance. Thus, it's looking on the outward appearance, and it's unwise to be judging according to the flesh when we try to determine the rightness or wrongness of a teaching based on how many believe it and follow it. Oh, they're very successful. They're very popular. They got a lot of money. Look at what they're, you know, great things are happening there. And, you know, we seem small and despised and overlooked and forgotten, ignored. Well, here's what Paul said. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. All right, all they're looking at is these outward criteria. You know, you have this big a church, you have this much money in your budget, you know, you have this, that, or the other. He says that's not how we're supposed to make judgments. Judge by the Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 4, it says there, a wicked doer gives heed to false lips, and a liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. If someone's a false teacher and a false prophet, and he has a following, maybe there's some sincere people that are really deceived for a time, you know, confused, misled, and they're going to find their way out of it. But for the most part, wicked people listen to false lips, liars listen to naughty tongues. And that's why they're so popular, because that's the condition of the whole world. We're all sinners. What we need to say is what Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. In other words, I don't care who says it. God is true. Anything contrary to what he says, anything that contradicts the scriptures, the person who says it and what he says, is he's a liar and he's speaking lies, and I will follow what God says, no matter what. And not follow the pack if they are following after lies. The other thing we should learn from this is make sure I have believed the truth and been saved and am not living a life of being self-deceived, convincing myself I'm something that I'm not, or that it's going to turn out all right whether I believe in Christ or not. We want to make sure we're believing God and following His Word. Let's close in prayer.